Hot Business on Hot 102.7 with Jeremy Maggs and MoneyWeb.
Now, South Africa approaches the 2025 budget speech tomorrow. The nation is facing critical economic challenges, including sluggish growth, a mounting debt burden, and a cost of living crisis. And all of this affects millions. The Democratic Alliance, part of the Government of National Unity, has outlined its expectations for the upcoming budget, emphasizing a need for infrastructure investment, policy reform to stimulate private sector job growth, and a firm stance against new tax increases. I want to delve a little deeper into these proposals. Dr. Mark Burke is with us, the spokesman for the party on finance. Dr. Burke, the Democratic Alliance, and good afternoon to you, expressing strong opposition to any new tax increases in tomorrow's budget. It seems, though, this might be inevitable given the very large revenue shortfall.
We don't think it's inevitable. We will oppose it by any means at our disposal. It is completely unfathomable at this point that we would burden South African taxpayers even further. There's a range of measures that need to be put in place as part of this budget process, but it's also not outside the realm of possibility that we could look at spending cuts. We've been asking for spending review for more than 4 years now, and strategically asking for it at least for the last half a year. So there are things we can do that doesn't involve taxing the South African citizen anymore.
And let's get to that in just a moment. But let's assume there was, for instance, a move on VAT tomorrow. What would that mean?
Well, the difficulty is South African taxpayers and consumers are already overburdened by tax. So a 1% increase in the VAT rate would add about 25 to 30 billion rand to our fiscus. But the cost is borne mostly by the poor South Africans. So folks who already are struggling to make ends meet will pay 1% more on effectively everything they buy, save for a very small basket of goods that are exempt and that we advocate should be expanded as well, that VAT-exempt basket.
You are part of the Government of National Unity. I'm interested to know how much say you've had, if any at all, in contributing to the budget speech or the thinking.
Well, we do have a Deputy Minister of Finance who's actively contributing, and it's been our experience that the Minister of Finance has included him in the decision-making. But it's also the case that Parliament must pass the budget, and we are at a point now where the fiscal situation has deteriorated so badly that we've got 75% debt to GDP, and that practically means that 22 rand out of every 100 that the government is spending at the moment is going towards servicing that high debt burden. So to answer your question perhaps in this way, we are very actively contributing to the conversation, but we are also the responsible adult in the room saying we need to become fiscally responsible, and we don't need to do that by overburdening South African taxpayers more.
The question, of course, is whether the ANC is listening to you.
Well, they must listen to us, and the fact is that they've got 39% of the seats in Parliament. So it is now cooperation territory, and it is our measured response that we'll use our position within the GNU to keep advocating for sensible reforms. Look, we can chat extensively about how the conversation is looking between the minister and deputy ministers, but it's also our position that while we're in the GNU, we've got a voice, and we are adding it to the conversation. And that conversation should focus on structural reforms that is desperately needed in the economy. So in the short term, we will oppose these tax increases. But in the medium to long term, we need to get the economy firing again. And that includes a number of measures that we need to put in place now. We need to concession rail. We need to look at energy reform. We need to look at tariff reform and so on.
All right, let's look at structural reform then. You've raised the issue. You've emphasized unlocking infrastructure development as a cornerstone for economic growth. Are there specific infrastructure projects that your party is prioritizing? And how do you plan to attract private sector participation, given that there is still a degree of skepticism?
Absolutely. I mean, some of the latest surveys indicate a big delta between trust in government and trust in business. So if we're able to establish a framework where folks are able to see government partnering with business, I suspect the trust in those projects will already go up. But practically, you know, we've been asking for a while for a competitive energy market. We want to grant private producers full access to the grid. And then we want to enable market-driven electricity pricing. So that's just on the Eskom side, which, you know, by the way, on this fiscal situation, has contributed almost 500 billion rand in the last 15 years in bailouts, which is an average of more than $30 billion a year. On rail reform, we need to see that ports, including Cape Town, Richards Bay, and Port Elizabeth, are concessioned. And then we need to see private sector participation. I often make this point that at the moment, a lot of South Africa's goods are shipped via a privately owned port in Mozambique. A South African company, Grindrod, runs that port. Mm. And so what's happening here is South African producers and exporters are paying the cost of putting things onto trucks, getting it across the border into Mozambique, traveling through a country in conflict to offload it into a private port because that port is more efficient than our South African ports. I mean, it's ludicrous. So we need to see the private sector participate in, you know, the rail network and in the ports, and the ability for South African producers to compete globally shouldn't also include an excessively high tariff on rail. So these are reforms that we urgently need, and it will get the economy going, and it will increase our tax revenue.
Are you able to elaborate for me on specific areas where your party believes spending cuts or reallocation needs to occur in order to achieve something that resembles a balanced budget?
Yep, we are definitely putting all our minds together, in addition to Treasury's many employees that should be looking at this, on what can be cut. I'll just quickly emphasize again that if we get growth right, there's two ways to get debt to GDP down. The one is to, you know, reduce your debt. The other is to increase your GDP. So we want to focus on growing the economy. Because you asked a specific question on what are we doing when we think about spending cuts, one example in the budget is CETAs, which is meant to be these training institutes, but they are so poorly run. They're the subject of multiple SIU investigations. They're mismanaged, and they've got qualified audits all over the place. We can actually scrap CETAs by consolidating, and we can do that this week if there was a political will. That's 19 billion rand already that's added to the... Now, we talked earlier about the VAT increase of 1%. If we're able to just do CETAs and then focus a bit on the National Skills Fund, we're already pretty close to a 1% VAT increase by just thinking about which of these holy cows are not that badly needed.
Yeah, I guess the key phrase there, Dr. Burke, is political will. I am going to leave it. Dr. Mark Burke, appreciate your time. The spokesperson on finance for the Democratic Alliance.
Heart Business on Heart 1027 with MoneyWeb.